New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app. Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Hypothalamic Amenorrhea Podcast. I'm Dani Sharif, your host, certified fertility awareness practitioner, functional nutrition counselor, and founder of the HA Society, and of course, an HA recovery coach who has walked where you currently are walking. This is the place to come if you care about getting your period regularly. This podcast aims to educate, inform, and keep you motivated on your period and HA recovery track. So let's dive in. But last thing, nothing on the show should be taken as medical advice, so please seek the advice of your physician. The final round of the Restore Your Fertility Group program is opening December 4. Get on top of it, ladies. Let's start thinking about the new year. Let's start putting ourselves first. Let's start thinking about what we really, really want. Stop with the fear. Make the decision. You want to recover. If you feel like you're beating around the bush, if you feel like you're avoiding, if you're in quasi-recovery, if you're just missing important advice and guidance and you just don't have the answers and you need help, that's what we do. Our last round of the Restore program just finished up about 2 weeks ago. 100% success rate. Everybody got their goal. Everybody reached their goal. I'm so proud of that. This group is just getting better and better. So you're 100% going to want to join. I just know it in my gut that this is the year for you. So you're just not going to want to sleep on it. You don't want to get to the end of 2025 and be like, oh my gosh, I should have just done the thing and taken the advice and gotten the help. Let's just bite the bullet. Let's get the work done. Let's go through all of the facts. Let's come up with a plan specific to you. And let's meet every week for 10 weeks until you get the job done. That's our goal with you. Head to thehasociety.com/restore-live. That's thehasociety.com/restore-live. And apply for the program and you and I can chat and figure out if this is a good move for you, if it's the right place for you, and move forward if getting your period back and getting pregnant by the end of 2025 is your goal. Hey guys, welcome back to the HA podcast. This is one of the episodes in a very special series that we're doing as we lead up to the launch of the Holistic HA Practitioner opening. We only do two of those in a big opening a year, and we're doing case studies. We've never done anything like this. It was really exciting to just get on and talk about a client and how we took them through everything from the coaching perspective. Mm-hmm. I think this would be really interesting. So whether or not you're ever interested in becoming an HA coach, the majority of you will not do this, right? But I still think it's interesting for everyone to hear it. And then for those of you who are curious about like, what's it like to be a coach, or how might I implement this in my existing personal training practice or whatever it is that you do, maybe this will give you some insights into like how we do it, right? It's not just vibes. There is a process. There's things we look at, and then there's individual considerations for different types of clients. So today we're kicking it off with Mishi, who's going to present to us about one of our clients who did the Restore Your Fertility Group program, Mina. And yeah, she was an interesting case. She had, you know, some vegetarian veganism, or, you know, like unique little bits and bobs about her. She ate a lot of high volume food. So I'm going to throw it over to Mishi to just kind of intro this client. Hey, Mishi, how, you know, Mina, how did she initially come across? What was going on with her initially? And what, even like everything through like hesitations she had, and it was just like the whole story from your side.
Yeah. So we loved working with Mina. She was in the Restore Your Fertility program, and she had been missing her period. I want to say it was six and a half years. And consecutively, she also had lost her period like prior, back in high school, and got it back from anorexia. So she did have a history of an eating disorder, and she had gone through eating disorder treatment and gotten all of those things taken care of, but she was still struggling to restore her period. And she did go to the doctor, and she did get I'm trying to remember correctly that I think she was getting some sort of like guidance and counseling from her doctor, who was like encouraging her to, you just need to gain a little bit of weight. And the way that she had originally approached her recovery was like, I'm just going to add a tablespoon of almond butter every single day. Because I think her doctor was like, you just need to gain 5 pounds. Or maybe Mina took, hey, you just need to gain some weight. And she was like, it's just 5 pounds. Because for some reason, as women, we're always trying to either lose 5 pounds. Anyways, so she was doing this tablespoon of almond butter every single day that obviously wasn't enough to get her to like recover. So I think her sister was the one who actually told her about HA. And then Mina found us, and she actually, I think, interviewed with a couple of people and then landed with us, because I think one of the other people had told her maybe she couldn't recover or something of that nature. And so with Mina's personality is like, if you tell her that she cannot do something, she is going to prove you wrong. And so that's kind of how she approached recovery. Is she was like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to recover. Even though I don't like some of these things that I'm going to have to do, I'm going to do them anyways. And so a really, really big thing with Mina in particular was her relationship with food, but more so the fact that health had became her identity. So when she was like much younger, I think that transition when you're a teenager and you're trying to fit in, the way that she wanted to fit in was like, I'm going to be the healthiest I possibly can. And she was really, really disciplined about that. Kind of the same attitude she was approaching recovery about being determined. She was also really, really determined to be the healthiest person possible. So became vegetarian, started like, did not eat any sort of processed foods, went through college with the same mentality of like, you know, still eating in the cafeteria, but eating the healthiest options possible and available. So when she was going through recovery, a lot of the work that we did together, as she was like implementing these changes with a little bit of resistance, because it was threatening that identity that she had created as like the healthy person. And a lot of our conversations also revolved around exploring what healthy meant to her. And that is actually something that she's still continuing to unpack on the other side. So it's not something that gets resolved, you know, once you're going through a recovery. So it's an ever evolving thing. But some of the things that we had to work on with Mina, particularly, was like, she was fasting, number one. So, and she wasn't only fasting in the morning, she was also fasting throughout the day. So she was only eating 2 meals a day. So right there was a huge opportunity for us to get her eating breakfast within, you know, the hour to 30 minutes of waking up. And then also just adding in lunch. But the other obstacle came adding in the snacks, because she was like already not eating three main meals a day. And then she was like, wait, now you want me to eat every 2 to 3 hours? This is insane. So we worked on that with her. And also, we worked on kind of changing what her meals and snacks were made of because she came from that vegan and vegetarian background. She was eating a lot of like really high volume foods. Like, if you saw her food view, she was actually ate a lot of food. I don't know if you remember seeing her food views, Danny, but
No, I
it,
do remember. It was jarring. She's
yeah.
like, well.
It's like, I can't believe you can eat that much food. And this is coming from an HA recovery coach. But it was a lot of volume food. So what we worked on was just like replacing those with like more calorically dense options and reducing those higher volume foods. So, replacing the leafy greens without in dry leafy greens, by the way, no olive oil or anything on them, but replacing it with things like rice and bread and those really dense carbohydrates like potatoes. Because she was also vegetarian, we started to increase animal protein through dairy. So things like full fat yogurt, full fat cottage cheese, and eggs. And also because she was came from a vegetarian background, her baseline temps were on the higher end. And if you like follow Nina's journey, as she started to integrate more animal protein, her baseline temperatures actually started to lower to a more healthier range around 97.5, which was interesting because when you take on an HA client, more often than not, their baseline temperatures are on the lower side. And for this client, particularly because of her background, her temperatures were a little bit higher.
Yeah,
Yeah.
which is like a whole other side tangent that we do talk about a bit in certification is like for some reason, vegan vegetarians have sometimes, not most of the time, just sometimes elevated baseline temps like Latari. Right? Was she like up at the 98s? Is that what you said?
Yeah, she was close. Let me go back to her. Very
I'm looking at
close.
her chart right now, which here, let me share it.
Yeah,
Let me
just
do
share it. Of
that fancy
course.
thing where I don't put her email up on
Oh
the
yeah,
screen.
do not have me do that because it's hard enough for me to figure out how to share in the first place.
I know. Yeah, it's rough. Okay, here we go. So this is Mina, like here we go
That's her
back to
current.
the olden days, right? So I'm scrolling back to when we started and it's loading because it's just kind of slow. Does this
This
happen
is
for you?
literally, it's like exactly what my screen looks like right now, the loading. Oh, and now it just came up.
Okay.
So
Yeah, it just takes a second. It doesn't like.
she's had like maybe 6 or 7 consecutive cycles, which is great.
Yeah, she's regular. Yes, okay, here's that first month, all right? Y'all, so you can see there's no particular pattern. But she's always at the 98 degree Fahrenheit. This is high. This is not normal. This is not normal. The way when you then start to, and I literally made you all wait so I could show you that. And now we're gonna scroll all the way back to now, which is like kind of skipping to the end by accident, but we'll come back. That shows like she has normal baseline temperatures now. I can't believe it's not loading.
Yeah, of course this would happen. But
Okay, you keep talking.
but you could even see the changes in her baseline temperatures within the first cycle.
First cycle was perfect. Look, this is it. It was a 28-day cycle, ovulation day 17, 11-day luteal phase. Like, are there things to work on? Yes. And I actually think some of her more recent cycles maybe weren't as beautiful. But like, boom, the changes you make. You see the metrics change. She's no longer at a crazy high because she introduced animal proteins, right?
Her diet just became more balanced, you know? Yeah. So
So for her, it was very,
Yeah, because I did the initial like sales call with Mina, and I remember she's a super bubbly personality, and she was very like unsure, right? And out about whether or not she wanted to take this route. She kind of felt like she still had some avenues of her own to try, which, as you alluded to earlier, was like potentially as simple as some nut butter a day. But I had said to her, like, this may be fate. I think for some reason, you are supposed to be on this call. You're not supposed to be wasting 30 minutes of your day for nothing on this phone call. Like, she went ahead and signed up pretty quickly, and really proud of her. Like, every single thing that she has done has been okay, a moment of bravery. 3, 2, 1, go. Like, nothing has been like, oh yeah, okay, I'll just try that. Like, no. She's had to really muster up some gumption.
Yeah, that's the thing about Mina. I was going to say the same thing. You could, like, we would give her the direction, and you could almost see her tweaking inside of just being like, I really don't, I really do not like that. And that's really like confronting like this healthy identity that I have. And that happens a lot in recovery, is like you are going to be confronted with some maybe like belief systems that you've held true to for a really long time, and you're going to have to be confronted like, are these actually valid? And that was happening a lot for her. But here's the thing about Mina, is she did all of this work afraid and uncertain and still went through it. And I think that's where a lot of people tend to stop, is like they're just like, I don't want, you know, certain parts of my belief system to be threatened. Like I'm too afraid to do the next step. But for her, she was like, okay, I'm gonna do it afraid, and I'm gonna do it with like feeling uncertain about it. Do you know what I mean?
Oh yeah. And if she was here, she would say a big part was how much support she had. I know her partner was really supportive. And then we were all, I think, and that's like, this is, we're meant to be here telling you guys about the coach certain stuff, but that's the thing about the Restore program, is that group environment of like, we're all doing this and we're all showing up every week. And like, you don't want to be the only one who didn't change anything, like who didn't make those steps forward.
Yeah, and Mina had a really competitive personality too, where she was like, I'm gonna be the best, I'm gonna get the gold star, I'm gonna be the most disciplined, which was something that like was part of her kind of like, I would say, her eating disorder that kind of transferred over to the recovery part, that actually really, really helped her in the recovery process, was being very determined and to recover really quickly. But yeah, she did mention how helpful the community aspect of it was, of like not only having the support of the Restore program, but also just the support of the HA Society, because there's also just like, I don't know, hundreds of other women on in that whole group setting. Not just like the program itself. Yeah.
Hey, do you need hella ideas on what to even eat? Is what am I even supposed to eat? A question on your mind, curiosity, uncertainty, lack of clarity around what are actually meals that help you get your period back? Right? What does it mean to eat nourishing meals? What does it mean to eat, quote, normal? All of these things are super common questions we get all the time. So our team has put together the best meal ideas guide for recovery that you have ever seen, if you ever even seen one. So head to thehasociety.com/ meal ideas to download it. It's totally free, a little gift for you just to help end the confusion. I hope you guys enjoy it. That's thehasociety.com/ meal guide, and enjoy the rest of the show.
Yeah.
This is why this is why HA coaching is a legitimate thing, though. You can have all of the intentions in the world and be way off on the things that really matter that you need to do. Right. So like, I love Mina's example because she would have absolutely gone and made some of her own changes, but the level of hesitation she had at every step, though she, you know, she would not have suggested it to herself. Like, I really think if she was here, she'd be like, yeah, I wouldn't have done a single one of those things unless you said I had to. Like, they would just mm-hmm. not have been her idea. Like, and that is pretty much, that pretty much sums up what we do, right? It's like, we look for the thing that you don't want to do, but that you can't see or that you choose to not see. And we recommend it to you. And depending on the level of push, here's how we're going to approach it. Right. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I like that's why this role needs to exist. And that's where most clients reach when they make an appointment with you. Right. They reach that end of the line of like, wow, I see all these things I'm still not doing. And there ain't a chance in hell I'm doing it without someone else telling me to do it. Like, that's what happened to me. Back when I hired a functional nutrition counselor.
Mm-hmm. Oh, same. Well, I didn't get a coach, and I wish now on the other side, having like my own experience and coaching other women and seeing how they really transform in the process, and especially being in community and in all of those things, like how much quicker and with a little bit more ease as well, they get through the process because they have that support. And also like the permission. I think I wholeheartedly knew exactly what I needed to do. I just needed somebody to give me the permission that it was okay.
Same. Yeah.
Yep.
Yep. Same. Like the permission that's okay. And then like some really specific guidelines that you're no longer able to just like finagle your way out of because you just changed your mind, you know? So that was, that was a big piece for her, was like, I love this. Finding the things that she didn't want to do or try, pushing her past her, basically like her self-induced limits and proving to her that she can do more. And that's a big thing too, right? It's like a cool analogy is if, because most people will resonate with this, you go to the gym, like Misha, you were a gymnast. I was a weightlifter. People are runners. You have in your head sometimes like what your limit is, but your coach says, no, you're going to do one more, right? Like you're going to do one more rotation, right? Or I know that you can catch that bar and that you mm-hmm. can, you can do that. And you're like, what?
Oh, 100%. And they're like,
yeah, I know that you can. I know that you can. Right. Or like, I'll be at the gym and I'll kind of be feeling a bit lethargic or lazy. And then my coach will be like, put five more on. And you're like, what? Or some, there's been times where it's been like 20 more pounds or like to lift. And it was just as easy because so much of that story that I can't do this is in my head. And it's the same with this, right? Oh, I like people will regularly say to you as a coach, I just don't think I can do that. Like, I really don't think I can give up my cruciferous vegetables. Mm-hmm. What do you mean? Like, actually, actually hear that, right? But it feels true. It mm-hmm. feels very true. And it's like, someone needs to get to the bottom of this with you and be like, no, you can. You can introduce an egg. So where's actually the hang up here? And we get to the bottom of it. And that's what it takes. And that's what someone like Mina needs.
Yeah. 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 She was really good about taking the feedback too. That's certainly isn't the case with every single client out there. And I'm sure the more case studies we'll go through, you'll kind of see that play out. But yeah, that's a lot of the coaching is like really getting curious about the resistance, getting curious about like the rules that they have around food or their behaviors and their thoughts about all the things, because the more curious you are, you open that level of awareness for them to also get really curious because they probably actually never thought about it before. a lot of these things are like they're just doing them because it's how they've always done things, or it's been learned and conditioned into them via culture and society.
Yeah, that curiosity is a big component of coaching. Like sometimes you run into someone who feels like a dead end. I mean, an example with Mina would be like you open her food view, and 100 times out of 100, we know what we're gonna expect to see in a food view. Even if someone is eating a lot, we can see, you know, where the discrepancy is. And Mina was initially very difficult. Look at all this food. Look at all this frequency. This isn't adding up. So we need to get to the next layer of curiosity. The next layer of curiosity. Mm-hmm. And learning how to be curious about this kind of thing is a skill.
Oh, it certainly is. Right? It was like, a huge learning curve for me in the beginning. Huge.
Yeah. That's actually a good reason too. So like with this round of the HAPSCert, we're doing this, it's called a platinum upgrade, where people can shadow us. So you can choose to do it or choose not to do it. And you can come into our practice and actually join with a client who has agreed in advance to have another person on there, essentially like in training, and come with us through the very beginning of when we first get their intake forms, and we look at them before we ever get on a call. Right. Mm-hmm. And like how we review that and how we review everything that you do learn in the course, watch us do it in action, watch us put together a protocol. We even like confer with you. Right. Mm-hmm. So like get, what's your opinion? What do you think? And really practice going through it and practice being curious about someone's intake form, someone's food log, someone's fertility awareness chart. And then you'll actually come with us for every one of their meetings, mm-hmm. right? And it's their check-in points and help us get further curious. Okay, we've hit a stall. How do we look at everything? Ooh, it doesn't seem like she's under eating. It doesn't immediately scream to us why this person is stalling. How do we get curious about where to go next? And that is a skill that comes with practice, which mm-hmm. is why we introduced that upgrade. But
I think
once you've got it, you've got it.
Yeah, I think another skill like to sharpen, still on that curiosity piece, is like we all come in with our own biases of like, you know, this is the way that I eat and it works for me, like things of that nature. Or this is, even as an HA recovery coach, we still like, we're human and probably have weight biases too, you know, that it's just like, you know, somebody should be able to recover at this, or this should be enough food, or eating in this certain way, of like still allowing that person's like chart to lead and being curious about that, about being like, you know, I feel like this should work, but let's try X, Y, Z, instead of like inserting your biases. Do you know what I mean? Maybe I'm not articulating myself well, but I feel like you're really, really, perfect. Really good at that. And I still am learning from you.
Oh, thank you. But I know what you mean with that, where like sometimes I feel like I can be so unbiased that I start to feel off brand.
Oh.
Which is interesting. Like, it's like, okay. But that's just because growth is happening, and the further you get away from recovery, the more like like everything changes again. And then a year or two later, it changes again. And so in early recovery, it's almost like important to have some really strong bias towards certain things. Like,
yeah,
you know, it's this like masculine approach. I don't know. It's complicated, and it's a whole conversation for another time. But one thing that is for certain, you know, as a recovery coach, like I will never do body pics. I don't believe in like selfies about like that. I think it's true that, I mean, this might sound, I don't know how to sound, but like, if you're in a teeny tiny body and you're a recovery coach, you have the absolute right to be that, but you need to approach your social media with some tact, right? If you are someone who is in an objectively a normal size body, you have more freedom, right? Like these things, there, I think there is this nuance to this. You're probably like, I don't know how we got on this topic, but you just reminded me when you were talking about like not having the bias.
No,
down
I
on,
agree.
Like, the body image train.
I do agree with you. I do get a lot of like feedback via social media. People like, I appreciate you so much for how you show up, because there are a lot of people in this space that are in smaller bodies and it's hard to take their advice or the recovery advice because they are in a smaller body. And like, yeah, you know what I mean. And so I totally get it.
I know.
Yeah.
It's just the nature of it. It's just the nature of the situation. It requires some sensitivity, and that's okay. Right. Mm-hmm. I just think that's okay. And maybe we'll get into that in another one of the episodes, but I think this was really cool. A really cool breakdown of like all of the things that we looked at, the metrics we use, the challenges that we come up against. I would think in future episodes, we could probably be even more detailed.
Like, yeah,
I think
we could
we'll get really good at this.
This was one of our first go arounds.
Yeah. Well, this is the first one that we're recording. So
yeah,
it would be good to try and get even more. Like maybe we open up the forms. We open up the practitioner assessments that we make based on everyone's like intakes. And like, look at what notes we made and what questions we asked them in their initial calls. But hopefully this was helpful, guys. It's also like a different way of telling a recovery story, just like for someone else, which is certainly cool. And otherwise, we'll see you tomorrow, because we're actually posting for a whole week. I think
yes.
We're doing 6 episodes of this leading up to the opening of the HAP on October 14th, where we're also doing a webinar, which I'm sure I put an ad for in this podcast, so I won't waffle on about it, but hopefully we'll see you guys there. And thank you for sharing, Mishi.
Of course.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Hey there, it's me, Danny, and I want to tell you about Temp Drop as a fertility awareness method tracking option. So many of you guys know that we actually recommend the fertility awareness method both as you're going through recovery and 100% after you have gotten some cycles back and you're starting to move forward for the rest of your reproductive years. So Temp Drop itself is a wearable fertility monitor, and we love it. It's a wearable device, so you put it around your arm and you can use that instead of taking your temperature manually with a thermometer each morning. So I'm personally a big fan of the manual tracking. All of us at the HA Society are. And that's the method that we use, you know, just using a good old thermometer. We use that with our clients because it's the best way to use it as a diagnostic tool, as a practitioner. And it's also the best way to ensure, if you're trying to avoid pregnancy, that you don't get pregnant. However, manual temping for many reasons is just not always an option. When you're in the middle of recovery, again, we do recommend manual temping, but once you're cycling, the Temp Drop is actually a really great hack. So it gives you basically everything you need to effortlessly track your fertility status, like where you are in your monthly cycle. So you wear the Temp Drop sensor while you're sleeping for accurate basal body temperature readings without the stress of early morning wake-ups. So I personally love this because with a toddler, my wake-up times are all over the place, and the occasional sleep disruptions make using an oral thermometer a lot more difficult. So Temp Drop's accompanying charting app enables you to track an array of symptoms alongside your basal body temperature. This includes tracking your cervical mucus if you've been using OPKs, and then it also gives you sleep insights too. So you can combine these fertility signs all in one place, and that will help you identify your fertile window, confirm ovulation, plan for your period, and if you're trying to get pregnant, you know, identify whether or not you are pregnant. So whether you're trying to conceive or avoiding pregnancy, or you want to chart for health reasons like HA recovery, making sure your cycle's not slipping back in the HA direction, Temp Drop makes fertility awareness accessible to all women, even if you don't have regular cycles or sleeping patterns. So track your ovulation in real time with the Temp Drop, and we are lucky enough to have a 15% off code. So if you go to their website, they're usually having a sale, but you can stack this code on top of the existing code. So just go to tempdrop.thehasociety.com and use the code AFHASociety. I think too, if you just go to tempdrop.com and use AFHASociety at the checkout, that will work too. So happy temping and good luck.
This episode is brought to you by Grassland Nutrition Beef Liver Capsules. Did you know that in terms of nutrient density, beef liver actually blows vegetables and fruits out of the water? If you're a client of mine, you have already been instructed to eat beef liver either fresh or in capsule form. I recommend it for anyone and everyone who is, of course, dealing with amenorrhea and fertility challenges out there, but I may even recommend it for just everyone in general. Get your husbands on it, get your partners on it. If you have a history of HA and add on top of that maybe a history of the pill, maybe you've been pregnant before, you know, through treatments or other, like you've just, your body's been through anything, you know, you're absolutely 100% dealing with a nutrient deficiency of some kind. And while it's true that testing is going to be the best way to understand those exact deficiencies, eating nutrient-dense, real food is going to be one of the most important next steps that you take with or without testing. So I've been using and recommending Grassland Nutrition Beef Liver Capsules for years now, and the capsule form makes it so easy to get your liver in every day, and I appreciate the transparency of this product in particular above others. So in case you're wondering, it's completely natural. This is freeze-dried beef liver in capsules. It's organic, it's made from Australian beef, and my favorite of their products is the liver with kelp because of the iodine from the kelp, which is important for overall thyroid function, which is often low in women with underperforming hormones. So rather than eat seaweed snacks every day, I get to take this beef liver with the kelp for my iodine. So if you're recovering or working on a fertility journey right now, do not skimp the nutrient rich source of beef liver. Get 10% off your order with the HA Society and support your favorite podcast along the way. They ship to most countries, so you should be covered. Just go to grasslandnutrition.net and use HA Society, just HA Society, at the checkout for the 10% off. That's grasslandnutrition.net with the code HA Society.
Thank you so much for listening today, guys. Please subscribe to the podcast, and if you could head to iTunes specifically and leave a rating or review, that would help so much because it makes it easier for other people with HA who are Googling around to find the podcast really easily. So if you do that, you're doing a service to all of the women.
This time of year, a good hoodie is absolutely essential, and the American Giant Classic Full Zip Hoodie is made to last a lifetime. With timeless style, heavyweight fleece, and durable details, you can depend on it for years to come. Snag the hoodie that will bring you comfort for life, the American Giant Classic Full Zip, and save 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com when you use code CLASSIC24 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, code CLASSIC24.